In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When you think of the word comfort, what comes to your mind? Perhaps a living room set at a comfortable temperature, which is so comfortable that if you sit there on a cold winter day, you fall asleep. As is my custom after a Sunday lunch, I say to Sarah, I'm going to fake act like I'm watching TV in the bedroom, but you know what I'm doing. We even talk about comfort foods, foods which bring enjoyment and a kind of a cozy feeling, like a warm bowl of chicken soup on a cold winter day. And yes, I'm making you all very hungry. The word comfort means a lot of things to a lot of different people. Isaiah is told by the Lord in Isaiah 40, our Old Testament reading, to comfort God's people. So I bring up the question, what did Isaiah mean by comfort? There is a huge difference between being comfortable and something comforting you. As Christians who are to be ruled by the Word of God, it's absolutely important and essential that we remember what God's Word says about comfort and what Isaiah meant as he wrote by the direction and the authority of God Almighty. So I ask two questions, which are my 2 points this morning. The first point is, how do we receive God's comfort? Comfort is a gift from God given to those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to God in God's way, and in order to receive God's comfort, we have to come to God in the way he commands and prescribes in his written word. Isaiah 40, verse 1, Isaiah is told to comfort God's people and to speak kindly to Jerusalem. The comfort that is given in Isaiah 40, verse 2 is that her iniquity has been removed. That's the key to our comfort. We can have all kinds of comfortable circumstances, comfortable things that happen to us, but if we don't have this most basic comfort, then we're not really getting the point of God's comfort. That our sins have been forgiven, that we are in right standing with God. True comfort consists in the setting forth of the whole truth concerning people's tragic condition of sin and causing them to see God as their only hope. When the serious nature of our sin is faced, then the announcement of our deliverance may be made. Indeed, apart from the preceding declaration of judgment, the words of comfort are not or without much point, because they can only be helpful once we know that our sins put us in spiritual danger. The good news of God's grace is only sweet when we realize the depth of the bad news of our sin. What Isaiah means by comfort is the peace with God that comes through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Comfort is a gift from God given to those who also repent of their sins. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the New Testament reading, John the Baptist said, and he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. At the heart of John the Baptist's message is this message of repentance. And John uses the metaphorical image of making pathways straight, that we may make ready the way of the Lord. What is behind this imagery is the important task that an army in ancient times did in clearing out a road that the king was going to travel on. One of their tasks during peace times was for a group of soldiers to accompany the king when he traveled and not only act as his protection detail, but also go before him and prepare his route. If his route from point A to point B included some difficult terrain through the wilderness, they were to make sure that the safest route was also cleared of all and any obstacles. And the clearing of these obstacles could include the leveling of the path so that it was smooth and straight, not bumpy and hilly, as much as possible. Because rough terrains and enemies could hide and ambush the king and take away his life. The U.S. Navy still has, in part, the same function with a special unit known as the CBs, the Construction Battalion, who builds roads and bridges used by our military in their mission. In the case of John the Baptist, quote, he is speaking of preparing the way for the Lord and making straight a pathway for our God. And what that is specifically saying is that John is preparing the way for Jesus, who is God Almighty, come in the flesh. The way this was accomplished, again, is not literally by smoothing out a pathway, but preparing for Jesus, and we do that on our part by repenting of our sins. John the Baptist cries out with this message in Luke 3:8-9, therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The identity of this prophet crying out is not revealed in Isaiah, but only from the New Testament do we learn that this prophet is John, and the one he is pointing to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Isaiah says that our God will be coming on a highway and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, is speaking of Jesus Christ, who is fully God, fully man. Isaiah goes on in Isaiah 45-8 to remind the people of God that this message of comfort and salvation has come from the very mouth of the Lord. The word of God is eternal and it endures forever because God endures forever, and his word is eternally true. In contrast, the life and beauty of all creation fades and then dies, but the word of our God stands forever. So this is how we receive God's comfort. My second point is, what is the nature of this comfort? We must distinguish between true and false comfort. That comfort which is eternal and that comfort which is temporary in nature. We must be diligent to distinguish between these two comforts. False comfort also versus true comfort. In Isaiah's day and in other biblical prophets' ministry, they would preach a message of repentance with a warning of natural disaster of the overthrow of the country's leadership if the people did not repent, as well as an impending exile. Unfortunately, often the king and the people didn't change their ways and who they worshiped. The people wanted comfort and prosperity without a change in lifestyle, without repentance. And this is the tempting essence of our sin to this very day, that we want the blessings of God without God. We resist the positive change we ought to do, but still we want the benefits of physical peace and security. Another example of this is found in the prophet Amos chapter 6, verse 1, which says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion And to those who feel secure in the mountain of Samaria, the distinguished men of the foremost of nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. The temptation to give ourselves false hope without genuine faith in true God, in the true God, accompanied by a genuine repentance, is an ongoing temptation for all people. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this, quote, "The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, heaven without hell," end of quote. William Booth's years were from 1829 to 1912, so when he speaks of the coming century, he is referring to the beginning of the 20th century. And if he had concerns about the spiritual welfare of the people of our nation at the beginning of the 20th century, certainly he would have concerns about the beginning of the 21st century. It's very important that we embrace the biblical ideas of comfort as we trust in God's Son for salvation, repent of our sins rather than the false notion of religious comfort, which we think comes from a high and exalted view of ourselves and our highest ideal to feel good about yourself, irregardless of what Scripture says about faith in Christ. We need to believe in true comfort of God's Word and not be lulled into spiritual lethargy by false hopes of being right with God apart from faith in Christ. But if we are trusting God and His only Son, we can have the full assurance of God's mercy and the firm knowledge that our sins are forgiven. And that is good news of great joy for all the people. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says this, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and deed." This passage reminds us that we receive eternal comfort from God and encouragement, and by God's grace to be strengthened in every good work and word. May we be a people who truly receive God's comfort. May we be a people who repent of our sins and continue to trust in this good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, help us to trust in your promises of hope and salvation through Jesus Christ. Strengthen us to serve you and to do your holy will. These things we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand together for our closing hymn, hymn number 17, On Jordan's Bank, Let Us Stand.